Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It almost makes so many more clarifications and context that you go, should this have been in book three?
What character would Jack Black play?
Oh,
in a secret history.
Oh, you know, you have those instant lover tropes. Mm. This is instant enemies.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the Tutor Round Podcast. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin.
Today, we're talking, doing an atypical review of Mistborn Secret History, the novella.
Yes.
We both recently read this book. I will say, as far as novellas go, this is definitely a necessary read for the Cosmere.
Mistborn and Cosmere, yes.
I missed out. I should have read this novella sooner.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about why, but today it's going to be a little bit more atypical. We're not going to go through our breakdown of, you know, emotional impact characters. Like, it right. doesn't feel like that type of book, not as relevant for this discussion. Mm-hmm. This be more of a breakdown, a little bit of theory crafting, things we've discovered with it, what makes more sense, where should you read this in the Cosmere reading order. Those are the questions we're going to be answering today.
Exactly. We'll tell you when we start to spoil the book. We're just going to first help you all, if you haven't read this, tell you when you should, mm-hmm. because that's a big discussion with this reading order. You definitely have to read Mistborn book 1, 2, and 3.
Mandatory.
Mandatory to read those three. And then the question becomes, do you then read, this is Mistborn Secret History, the book you see in front of us here, it's called Arcanum Unbounded. This is a series, a Cosmere collection where it has several short stories in it. It has Edge Dancer in this one, I believe, which is Lyft's perspective, but it has
Emperor's Soul
in there. But in one of those stories is Secret History. And the question then becomes, do you read Secret History after Mistborn Book 3 in Era 1, which would be Hero of Ages? Others say to read it after
Book 6.
Book 6, and what, that's Bands of Mourning, correct? Yep. So do you have any information on that? What do you think? When do you think people should read it? In what order?
Actually, I'll take a little break away from the mold. That either one of those is probably okay, but the more important thing is I would have loved to read Secret History before I read Rhythm of War.
Correct.
From Stormlight Archive.
Yes.
That, I think, is even more important.
Yeah.
That I wish I knew mm-hmm. ahead of time. I think that's kind of a valid point. So,
oh, yeah.
If you want to get something new, I've seen the conversation very frequently talk about, hey, do you read it after Bands of Mourning, or do you read it after
Hero of Ages. Book 3, yep.
Back and forth. For the most part, we're not going to give you too much new there, but I think the new thing is, hey, if you haven't read Rhythm of War yet, you're working your way through Stormlight Archive, maybe take a pause and read the Mistborn series and catch up to Secret History, then finish off with Rhythm of War.
Yeah, Secret History, when the patrons were recommending, and I think this is correct, because even when you look up on Goodreads, it says Secret History is book 3.5. in Mistborn. So it that's yeah. what it labels it as, is 3.5 between this and book four, because timeline-wise kind of works that way. So I would say I only read book 1, 2, 3, Mistborn, then read this. Worked perfect. And the quote-unquote spoiler it says you get for Bands of Mourning, every single patron said it's not that big of a spoiler, not that big of a deal. You won't even recognize it. It's not a part of the ending. It's an aside. It's a mention. It's kind of an Easter egg type of thing that's mentioned. It's not even that significant. So I personal experience wise, I haven't read Bands of Mourning yet, but I think reading after Hero of Ages, which you did a weird order. You did
wrong order.
Like what? You did everything wrong.
Way. Yes.
How'd you read it?
I read it after. So I read Alloy of Law, the first book in Era 2. Then Shadows of, what is it called? Shadows of Self?
Shadows of Self. Yeah, yep.
Shadows of Self. Then I read Secret History. I couldn't read fast enough to finish Bands of... My plan was to read Bands of Mourning first, then Secret History.
Yeah.
But you were reading too fast for me this time. I couldn't read three books before you could finish the novella. I couldn't do it.
I'm reading Howling Dark, so...
That is true.
And I'm about to finish that. So that was the big thing. Yeah. Okay, that's a big step.
That's upcoming. Howling Dark is coming. You heard it from him. He's nearly done.
This close to finish. Yeah. So for Shadow... Not Shadow of Self. I was thinking the wrong thing now. For Secret History, anybody that... I guess if you are already invested in Cosmere, like, okay, I'm a Cosmere fan, essential read.
I do want to ask a question about our patron members, though.
Oh, yeah. Because
I've heard from our patron members specifically that they are not big fans of Era 2. So was their recommendation of like, hey, it doesn't spoil anything important, is that coming from people that already don't like Era 2 as much or from people who really do like it?
That was from literally everybody, like and don't like.
Okay.
There's fans of it. There's not fans.
You know what I mean?
Fans
if they don't,
of Era 2.
If they already don't like Era 2, then they're like, yeah, who cares about that spoiler? Because they're not as invested versus people like myself that actually really enjoy Era 2, which, spoiler alert, I do like Era 2. I actually like it probably a lot more than most people would say on the internet.
You find it fun.
I find it a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
I love the kind of those pulp mystery novels, and this scratches that itch for me.
Yeah.
So. It's enjoyable to me.
And no, I can guarantee, especially since you've read the first two of Era 2 and then read this, did it glare any spoiler for you for Bands of Mourning, or was it, did you notice anything?
I got spoiled a little bit on the internet because I was trying to debate whether or not.
That doesn't count, though.
Yeah, I know, but I won't know until I read Bands of Mourning. Really.
Okay, fair.
I saw a brief spoiler that I think is a spoiler, and I'm like, and I immediately looked
it.
Away.
Yeah.
That's right. I can just forget it. Mm-hmm. I don't have to remember.
No.
Just delete.
the copper mind.
Yeah, exactly. Just
use it like you would an allomancy or
talk about underrated. Like if you had the question of what would be like an underrated use of like allomancy, ferrochemy, using a copper mind to be able to reread books again for the first time.
Imagine rereading Lonesome Dove.
Again for the first time.
Every time.
Every time. Like you've. Oh, my favorite book. I'm just going to put my memories of that book away, and then I'm going to read it again like it's the first time. It's perfect.
Very underrated usage.
Very underrated usage of the magic system.
So we're going to break this down now. We're going to go. So spoiler warnings for Secret History. Go read it. It's 45,000 words. Super, super short.
If you're at all interested in Cosmere, like it's
actually,
it's really good. It's very important. So if you're invested in the Cosmere, you got to read it.
And it really helps put things from Mistborn Era 1 in context, which we will be talking about now.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Since this is our atypical review, we're not going through categories. Kind of have this broken up into two sections. The first being the character talk of Kelsier's alive. Kind of.
The survivor survives.
So talking about character in the story itself and just going, hey, what did Kelsier do? How's it put it into context? Then the second part, all the world building breakdown of what did this say about the Cosmere? What is the cognitive realm? All the Cosmere stuff. First thing, Kelsier's back.
Which, if we all remember from our original review of the first book in the Mistborn series, you're going, hey, Kelsier seems important. Like, I imagine he has got to come back at some point. Like, everyone's saying he's their favorite character.
Yeah.
He's got to have a more important place than just where he is here.
Right.
Otherwise, I'd be disappointed. I think those were your words. He's what, back.
Does
baby.
That mean I predicted something?
I think so.
Those were my words. Mark it down. And let's rewrite.
Give
history.
You credit for that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. He's back.
He's back, boys.
He's back. And I guess we should start with the postscript of Sanderson in this talks about the postscript saying, resurrecting characters is a very dangerous tool to use, a very dangerous trope, because if you do that, then character tragedies and deaths in the future, do you trust the author will keep them dead? Once you break that once, does it break the immersion? Does it break the suspension of disbelief for a reader? He was very focused on that. What do you think? Do you think it was a good thing Kelsier came back, or did you not like it?
Overall, I think it was fine. For again, the exception. This is the exception does not make the rule. This is a good exception in the sense of Kelsier is such a dynamic character. He does feel underutilized, and after the first book, I feel like you kind of want more of him. Like I don't mind him being alive again, and especially how he's sort of alive, where his consciousness is around, but he doesn't get to interact as much with, you know, he doesn't get his resurrection and back home with all his friends again. Like it's still a death of sorts. He's still disconnected from others again.
Alludes at the end that maybe he could be in the physical realm again.
Yeah, it looks
because there's a little thing where Sazed says, no, you can't do it, Kelsier. Kelsier says, oh, he's such a bad liar.
Such a terrible liar.
I could so do this. If I had the ego of Kelsier, I would be, we'd have 50,000 subscribers by now.
That is true.
If we had Kelsier's
have
world.
Have we ever, like, hey, if you're watching us and you haven't subscribed, why don't you know, helps out.
We never do that. We don't do.
Yeah. What now? I didn't like it when it came out of my mouth when I said it either.
We do it very rarely, but this is one of those rare moments. Subscribe.
Thanks. Or don't. I don't know.
Or just punch the subscribe button like Kelsier punched a god in the face.
Punch that subscribe button.
I was trying to bring it into the book because Kelsier punched the god.
He does punch. I thought you were going off like standard YouTube like.
I was trying to combine the two.
Smash that like button.
I was going like physical and cognitive realm, combining into one.
Okay. You try your best, don't you?
So Kelsier's alive. I think, especially why you said exceptions here, because typically speaking, don't like this. Mm-hmm. I think from Mistborn's book 1, 2, and 3, Sanderson, as he said in the postscript as well, foreshadowed enough to go. Kelsier was talking to Spook in Mistborn 3. Then again, is that ruin? And that's where we were led to believe. But there was enough mentions, and Kelsier was enough of a significant character, and also knowing how ruin and preservation worked in Mistborn, it wasn't out of the realm of possibility. So it wasn't that this kind of threw you out of the loop and breaks the world to bring Kelsier back or breaks the story. In fact, the story that's told helps put into context how Mistborn book 1 to 3, actually mainly book 2 and 3, mainly book 3, how that actually worked because of Kelsier's role in all of this. So I think for all those reasons that Kelsier coming back was...
There's some really good foreshadowing of specific instances throughout the first three books.
Yeah.
Where, of course, Tensoon uses Kelsier's bones to pretend to be him.
Yep.
Also, Osor does the same thing. And so there are later mentions of characters like, I saw Kelsier. Like, some of them, like, we as the audience know, that was Tensoon. That was Osor.
Mm-hmm.
We remember those scenes.
Yeah.
But then there's other times where it's like, I don't know if we got to see him. Like, where a soldier says, like, you know, Kelsier, talk to me about. And so he starts saying, like, Kelsier called on me to do something. And you go, he must have saw Tensoon at some point. Mm-hmm. And like, okay. Well, actually, no. Not all of them were Condra.
Yeah.
Some of them were actually Kelsier talking to him. Then you, of course, have the Spook mentioned where
missed that, but maybe that did happen in the book. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so the moment in Secret History where there's the soldier brawl of where basically Ellen's army, they eventually started fighting over the people who are caught by the mists.
Yep.
And then there was a whole brawl and they had to execute one of those people and then send the people who were sick for 16 days. They had to send them away.
Mm-hmm.
That person was saying like Kelsier told me that like you guys are sick and you're not. Like he started ranting and raving literally was Kelsier talking to him. He misinterpreted, but it was Kelsier.
Yeah, you see how he had his part to play in things. Yeah. He had a lot
even
more.
Even after his death, he had a significant part to play in death.
Yes. One of those significant things. So as we're talking just the narrative of this story, mm-hmm. he's the one that stabbed Ellen.
Yes. So which makes way more sense with how would preservation, like it's shown later in book three, how preservation can't like hurt a fly, really. Like, can't. How does preservation hurt Ellen?
How does one that's supposed to preserve take away life? Yeah. That's the opposite. That would be Ruin's job.
Mm-hmm. And so the fact that Kelsier does it's like, oh, okay, that's why.
Yes. There was a lot of those moments where just, okay, context now makes so much more sense. Kelsier, when when Vin went to the Well of Ascension, was tricked by Ruin to release Ruin, also released Kelsier from his prison in the cognitive realm of sorts, too. So that did two things. It allowed Kelsier then to go out and help in some ways. And Kelsier's interactions with preservation or Fuzz.
Yeah.
How did you like that dynamic? And did you have any theories between the two as well? Or did anything come to mind, or did you just find, oh, this gives a lot more context for this part?
A hole that I didn't know was there, mm-hmm. but now makes me like, why didn't I question this sooner? Was we know after reading Stormlight and things like, is that supposed to talk about how shards work?
No, I think that's okay. Because there's shards in here, yeah.
When a shard holder bearer, the vehicle for the shard dies, basically whoever's nearby the body, like the death where the god died, that's who gets to take up the power again. Book three, it's weird. We get to see preservation die in book three of Ruin finally gets to kill him, and it's now a body in ash that's just covered over. And then many days later, Vin picks up preservation. And so you go, wait, that's not how it works normally. Normally, the preservation would have to die right near Vin for her to pick up the power and, you know, ascend to preservation. Mm-hmm. How did that work? That's days in between. Like,
what actually happened?
Yeah. What actually happened is preservation dies and Kelsier is able to pick up the power. And then when Vin takes the power, it's Kelsier letting go of the power and, you know, being destroyed kind of by Ruin.
Yes.
Makes far more sense.
We weren't even questioning it in book three.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in book three.
Yes. So we're like, oh.
That's one of the things.
Yes.
I didn't question a lot.
And it does answer that question perfectly. It goes, okay, of course that had to happen because if Kelsier hadn't done so, the sword should appear at preservation's body in the real world. Because it would go from the cognitive realm, it would show up in the physical realm.
Also, how much of a better twist it is for when Spook sent the message of do not trust, you know, do not trust anyone with metal in them, like remove your spikes.
Yep.
It sent that message off by the soldier to Vin, and then it doesn't get there, and then Marsh has it. And in the book three, I don't really piece it together. I thought Marsh kind of puts it together himself. But the fact that it was all a misdirection of Kelsier sending the message to Marsh, of telling him how, like, hey, Vin has a spike that's her earring. Like, that's, remove that.
Yep.
And so now he's figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment of weakness, he battles Ruin. And that's how Marsh is actually able to fight against Ruin's control.
Yes.
Makes a bit more sense because of how it's well set up of Marsh has the most amount of
hemorrhagic spikes
in him. Like, how the hell does he... He can barely lift a finger against Ruin without Ruin knowing. And how does he fight against it? It's because Kelsier fought with preservation. Like, he gave his everything for a momentary distraction for Marsh. And it's like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. And also, it was deliberate. Great.
It almost makes so many more clarifications and context that you go, should this have been in book three? Should this have been?
I like it not being in there.
Yeah.
In the sense of the godly realm is kept a little bit more separate because a lot of it is, hey, this is preservation's big grand plan. Mm-hmm. And you get to see that at a distance. And
you wouldn't have known cathartic that otherwise.
Yeah, it's also a lot more fun to see how by the end of book three, it's like, oh, wow, preservation really was playing the long con.
Yes.
That's fun to see. in this one, you see how much Preservation has flayed and how Preservation's plan could have gone astray very easily without Kelsier. Yes. Kelsier really did save the day in a big way. Like, without Kelsier, Preservation's power would have been taken up by Ruin. Like, way before. It basically would have destroyed Preservation's power and scattered it. Or, even then, Marsh. Marsh removing the hemorrhagic spike from Vin wouldn't have happened without Kelsier. So Kelsier did, at the end, he saved the day again.
He did, and that conclusion of sorts we get where Vin and Ellen do see each other. And they get a little last goodbye there. And the thing Vin mentions about Kelsier's character is, hey, were you doing this for the people, the nation? Were you doing this for others, or were you doing it for yourself? Kind of that, was it a grudge? Was it a vengeance? Were you doing this for the reasons you think you're doing it for? Of him being that determined to go to the end, was it his way of just, what was his lover's name? It started with an M. Remember?
I don't remember.
But Kelsier's previous love and wife, etc. So was, at the end, we're kind of left with, is Kelsier more selfish than he comes off?
Which, kind of, yeah. He just has a really dynamic personality. He's can-do attitude. He's not completely selfless. Also, his crew was right of when his crew was going, hey, do you think Kelsier would be angry that we, like, immediately after he sacrificed himself to take down the Lord Ruler, that we put a noble back on the throne?
Probably.
He would be angry, and we find out, yes, he was very angry at
Who's
that.
This? Yeah.
He was very angry at that. Not a big fan of the nobles, but he comes around eventually.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Stabs him.
He does stab him.
He probably had a little fun doing that. Yeah.
He does, but also.
But yeah, he did have that genuine hate for nobles. He said, he clarified in there as well, he only saved Ellen because Vin cared about Ellen.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, he's not the worst, and Vin loves him, so, like, yeah, fine.
Yes. And Ellen ended up just being, his character arc in book two was really fun to see. And maybe Kelsier and him would have been great friends by book three.
No. I don't think so.
Why just shut that down?
I don't think they would.
They would have had the, I'll say the early on, I don't want to say Stormlight spoilers, but a relationship in Stormlight, how it started off between those two.
It's just the same way of Kelsier and Hoyd hate each other.
Another scene. That want to get into the more of the world reveals and stuff that we got here, because we can get into how. Let's break this down. Hoyd was here.
Hoyd was everywhere. He's always there. Which, yeah. Fun stuff of, we get, what, two kind of big scenes with him? Or two scenes of context. One where he interacts with Kelsier, and the one where he was almost going to interact with Vin. Because a lot of people, I think, maybe missed it. So in Mistborn Era 1, the two scenes that Hoyd is in, is in the first book, when Kelsier goes to see this informant, homeless guy.
Hoyd's there.
They don't get along, like, screw off, guy. Like, it's just,
it's super,
they
quick.
Don't like each other. Doesn't work. So it's like, okay. And it wasn't super important. And then in book 3, Vin goes to see some informant that they have contact with, and is about to go see the contact, an important plot moment. And then for some reason, she's like, I trust my gut. Something's wrong here. Nah, I'm not going to go see him. And then immediately leaves. And us as a reader kind of go,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
Seems a little pointless to mention that, but okay.
Yeah.
But that was Hoyd. I think maybe some people could have missed that. Pretty easy to miss. But now we know in context, Kelsier's the one screaming at her, like, no, don't go to him. He's weird. He's a weirdo. We don't. He's strange.
I imagine just in your, if you die an early death, well, tragedy.
Probably.
If you do, if there's some cognitive realm, you're just torturing me throughout my life. Anybody I go near, like, no, don't do it. He's on a podcast. Like, get away.
Is it arrogance to think that when I'm dead, that I would spend my time haunting you?
Is it arrogant?
Is it arrogant of you? Like, I think I would have better things to do than haunt
your
bed.
I think it's just my view of you, seeing you wouldn't have better things to do.
Exactly.
It's not an increase of my ego. It's just my opinion of your
exactly.
worth.
You're not elevating yourself. You're pushing me down.
Exactly.
I have nothing but spite in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
and that would bring me
the most. I think that drives you more than happiness.
That's fair.
It brings you happiness.
Yeah, spite is a powerful motivator for me.
Kelster's got some spite in him.
I read all of Stormlight in 1 month out of spite because you said
and
I couldn't
more
do
than
it.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said, oh, no, you can't do that, Richard.
Oh,
and so
you
I
would
did.
Totally like destroy me in the cognitive realm. That would be awful. Wow. I hope Sanderson's not actually God.
Is spite a shard? One of the 16 shards is spite one of them.
There's all these good ones. There's harmony, love,
harmony.
Forgive.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Goodness, grace. I know these aren't some...
Spite. I would be the god of spite.
Yes.
It would be a powerful tool.
but Kelsier and Vin. So Kelsier, Sean, and Vin don't do that. And then the others. So the big scene with Hoyd in this book was Hoyd comes up to Kelsier in, was it a canoe of sorts? He was in a type of ship.
A meat toboggan.
A meat toboggan. And there was some skeleton there too. He's interacting with, but Hoyd and Kelsier have this instant, you know, you have those instant lover tropes. This is instant enemies. Instantly looked at each other and knew, I don't screw this guy. I'm not his biggest fan.
They both radiate, like, I think they both know that they're main characters and they can't share the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's a great way
Hoyd
of putting
knows,
it.
Hoyd knows, like, he's got charisma, all this, like, and then you have Kelsier, who has just as much charisma as Hoyd. And it's just like, I don't like that. They can't share the same scene. The scene is only big enough for one of them.
It's when you go to high school, from elementary, middle school, then high school, and you're the best on the football team. Then you go to the next level and you go, wait a second. There's another person from the other middle school who's now at my high school that's a good quarterback as well. Then you have
Are we the right people to talk about school sports analogies?
I tried a different route because you know usually we have book stuff and we don't typically go in the sports area because I'm going outside my comfort zone.
True, but you do some sports now.
I've never really played. Actually, I did a little bit, but not very well.
It wasn't football. It wasn't Minecraft football.
Oh, you know the Minecraft movie? Did you see the trailer for it?
Yeah, it looks pretty bad.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you see it?
I did.
What did you think?
I actually thought I would liked it
This is a weird aside, but I'm enjoying
it. I was looking at it and I was a lot less judgmental because I'm thinking, you know, if I was a kid going out to see a Minecraft movie, I think I'd really like it. I think my initial reaction, I think a lot of the hate is because it's a bunch of adults looking at it going, ah.
Well, you know the movie that I watched as a kid? The level of quality for I think the age range that they're kind of going for.
What's that?
Like, we watched Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
That was, I think, in the same age range as what the Minecraft movie is supposed to go.
Mm.
And so, to me, I feel like I have a little bit higher standards for the children's movie. Like, come on, you can do a little better. We got Pirates of the Caribbean.
I see
and they
point.
Get the Minecraft movie.
But hey, there's also movies like Spy Kids.
And it's amazing.
And it's got thumbs, and you're like, oh, this is cool.
One of the most fire lines in all of cinematic history.
All fiction. And it's incredible.
The fact that this line comes from Spy Kids is insane. Yeah. Do you think God also... do you think God stays in heaven because he also is afraid of what he's created on Earth?
It's incredible.
It's so just good.
Drops a bomb. I think he changed her hypothalamus at like age 7.
You're like, what?
I don't even... Hypothalamus, is that even the right term? We're freaking... It's pituitary. I just start throwing out brain terms. Yeah, but it's it's what a line, right?
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah, yeah. So...
And now we get Minecraft movie.
Yes, I do.
So... I don't know. I think the youngins deserve a little bit higher quality of movie.
Yeah, we'll see how it is. You know, I'm not gonna be rushing to the theater.
You know what? Our theory of like, hey, if a movie has The Rock in it, it's probably bad.
Jack Black, is that your theory?
Jack Black is not the same level.
Jason
as the
Momoa.
Rock. Also, kind of true. Yeah, but Jack Black kind of has a. Does he have a better track record?
Yes.
Like, Schoolhouse of Rock is good. Apparently, the Mario movie was better. What else is he in?
Oh, I'm not sure, actually. Yeah. I'm not well acquainted with that.
He did one awesome movie that everyone remembers, and then I don't know anything else. Like, School of Rock is the Jack Black movie.
Was he in Secret History?
Yeah, probably. That's a great segue. Ooh, what character would Jack Black play? In a Secret History.
In Secret History.
In Secret History.
Alone?
What can you pick? There's less options.
There's so few options.
There's so few.
Oh, wow.
Like, he can't be Kelsier.
No, of course not.
Could he be Hoyt?
No. I don't know why my mind went to Preservation, because I think he could play off the kind of dying thing.
He probably could play Preservation.
He could play Preservation in the... You're fading. A fading god who's kind of quirky.
Weird.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, we solved it.
We segued
back. What were we talking about? We were talking about Secret History and Kelsier and Vin and how... Yes, Kelsier and Vin and how Kelsier warned Vin, no, don't go see Hoyd. And also Kelsier and Hoyd, that whole scene where we see... Yes, we see Hoyd interact with Kelsier. Hoyd's looking for some... He's trying to get there to get something. What was that thing he was trying to get? Do you remember?
Oh, no. He did. He got the metal that... Or the bead, whatever, pill thing that turns you into a Mistborn.
Because he's a Mistborn, is the
now
reveal.
He is.
Now
yes.
He is. Yes. And so he gets that, gets out of there. And just for some context, because I kind of wrote down here, because it can get kind of confusing for what worlds are all of these taking place on. And where is this? So in the first place, Mistborn takes place on Scadrial. Mm-hmm. That's one of the planets. Second planet from Stormlight is Roshar. Third planet, a book like Warbreaker takes place on Nalthus. And then your books like Elantris and Emperor's Soul take place on Cell. And of these four different worlds, we see Hoyd, who's world hopping between. We see him in Stormlight. Won't give too much because this is focused on Secret History and Mistborn. But we Hoyd, and there's these other characters that appear throughout the Cosmere, throughout these books. So Hoyd was a big one. And another one, did you notice at all, Chris and Nas?
I noticed, and I couldn't remember where they also were from.
So I have the information here because I hadn't read the books, but Chris is from the planet Tal'Dyn, or from Tal'Dyn, and that's in White Sands.
Oh, okay.
So, which we have not read. So there's a bit of that. And but a fun fact about Chris is, Chris is the person who does all the Ars Arcanum, the portions at the end of the book where it gives you information on the Mistborn. The metals and all that sort. So all of that is in world written by Chris.
Oh, interesting.
And so in Stormlight, when you see some of the pictures, it's signed by Chris. Mm. So Chris is kind of this goes between worlds, is a researcher of sorts. And I haven't read White Sands, but I assume is more involved with that. And Naz is sidekick there. That's okay. All I know. From Threnody. This is a patient tried to inform me on this, hadn't read them, so I was like, okay, that's what I got on them.
Okay.
But so some of this too, even when reading, I think some of it still goes over heads of...
Oh, definitely. We missed a lot. I know that.
But of what we did get, what else was a big reveal or big Cosmere thing? What kind of got you theory crafting, going, oh, what is that, or how important is that?
Well, definitely we have to talk about the group that Kelsier meets, that he's able to con and get the device to link him and Preservation together. what are they called? The
Eerie.
The Eerie. Mm-hmm. The Eerie were on schedule, right?
So they're no. I don't think they were.
Because when they were there, they had jungles and grass and like there was
I don't think the Eerie were there. I think the Eerie is an aside to what I have here is they're from Elantrians, from my understanding here, from what I was told. So, and they're also Stormlight. It's a very small Stormlight thing. They're merchants in the cognitive realm. They're kind of mentioned in there in Stormlight stuff. But I don't think they were in Mistborn.
No. Yeah. Were they on the planet Scadrial?
Oh, on Scadrial?
Yes.
Oh.
Because Kelsier had to walk for a long time to them. And I'm going, where exactly did he go? Did he go through some perpendicularity to go to, right. Like, was he in the cognitive realm? Was he on?
Well, even if he did find them on this cognitive realm area, people who weren't from Scadrial were there. You know, like Hoyt, it's not like Hoyt's from Scadrial, like all these characters.
Yeah, no, so I was just curious because the landscape where he was at was like, I didn't know.
Very different.
I didn't know Scadrial had jungles at all anywhere on the planet. That was the thing that was confusing to me.
Does Elantris have that kind of stuff? Because it's an aside to
sure. But they also built, when Kelsier came upon it, he came across a structure that was built partly of the cognitive realm.
Okay.
You know how, because he couldn't go through the walls, it was like physical, but cognitive is the weird mix. So it's like, okay, where exactly is he? I was confused on that. I wondered if you had a answer.
That's what I was informed on, that the Eerie are a group of Elantrians, and I think that's an aside. It was kind of another Easter egg portion to go there just to connect all the worlds. And I think Sanderson, what he's trying to do is make Elantris a more important book in the Cosmere. Mm-hmm. So he's making more important than previously. And again, this book, it came out, I think, 2016, was it? Mm-hmm. So in book order, Elantris was his first ever published book back in 2000, I want to say 6 or mm-hmm. something of the sort. So I think he's just bringing it back, trying to get more.
He also, the Elantrians play a significant role in one of the secret project books as well.
Oh, cool. So he's definitely trying to do that then.
Mm-hmm.
Neat. We didn't really mention this very much, but the Lord Ruler shows up.
Yeah, which, interesting. Yeah. I thought that Sanderson would take more time with him a little bit, like a little bit more of a dialogue between him and Kelsier, but
not much.
It was surprisingly quick. Once the Lord Ruler realized he was dead, he was kind of like, hey, you, man, Survivor, you're real annoying. Like, you really lead up to your name. I've killed you now. How many times? How many times do I have to kill you, man?
Right.
And then he's like, well, I'm dead. Bye-bye, everyone. And then he just fucking leaves. He doesn't hold on to power. Like, once he's gone, he's like, I've lived long enough.
Yeah.
Let's go. Which was interesting.
Yeah, I think he seemed somewhat pissed.
But also, he kind of like a guy's like, hey, I did my best. You guys rejected me. I'm out of here. Like, just one of those guys of like, I did everything I could. If you don't want my help, fine. I'll leave.
Again, emphasizes for Kelsier. Even the Lord Ruler, Vin, were able to go on to the beyond and let it go. Kelsier, still, that spiteful Kelsier just wanting to stick around and finish this and refusing to die. The survivor.
Yeah.
Even the Lord Ruler, this immortal being, was done.
Also, I think it was brought up because of like Ruin was bringing like, you still won't go on to, you know, be with your beloved in the afterlife. Like, you're still here. Like, why won't you? Like, there's something kind of wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you say you love this woman, yet you won't go be with her.
Yeah.
What's kind of wrong with you that you won't move on to the other side?
Hmm. Yeah.
Is spite stronger than love?
That's what we have.
Kelsier's my kind of guy.
I guess with larger Cosmere stuff, did you have something else you wanted to mention with the world Cosmere connections? Because for a lot of people, when they're reading this, even from reviews I'm seeing, they're going, wow, this connected so much.
Yeah. So the Eerie were a bit confusing for me, learning about the tools that they were using, how they were far enough away that Ruin didn't have much in, like, Ruin and Preservation couldn't go to where they were. But to me, I'm going like, if they're still on Scadrial, like, doesn't Ruin and Preservation kind of like own the planet? They should be able to go anywhere on the planet. Is there somewhere on the planet they can't go to? Someone in the comments, help me out. Where exactly did Kelstier find the Eerie? Were they like next to the planet? Were they in the cognitive realm? Or like, why couldn't Preservation and Ruin go there? Like, I'd understand it if where they were wasn't on planet Scadrial. Because, of course, then Preservation and Ruin couldn't go there. So I don't know where exactly they went. So anyway, that's a aside. But other than that, we got a lot more detail just how these shards work.
That was a big thing, yeah.
The confirmation of how the Cosmere works, of there used to be one god. There used to be one power, the Adon. What is Adonis?
Adelasium.
Adelasium.
Adelasium, I believe, yeah.
So, and then basically, what was 16 individuals?
Wait, is God Adelin? Adelasium?
There's our theory.
Oh my God.
Adelin is the reincarnation.
Adonalsium. Oh, okay, I said it right. Adonalsium is the name. That's close enough.
Adelinism. Adelin. Adelism.
Imagine that. That's our theory crafting.
Best boy should be God.
Absolutely should.
Yeah. Anyway, to the point, like, basically confirmed in this one, we know that there was one God, then 16 individuals of some type. Mm-hmm. Basically killed God, shattered his power into 16 shards.
Yes.
And it seems to be a common phrase. It's not one shard per planet. It's more like two. Because that happens. It's not one shard, one planet. It seems to be a mix of all of them. Some planets have one. Some planets have two. Some planets, like Roshar, have three.
And then for context on that, for those that know Nightblood, do we have Nightbloods right up there, right below our Zeth and Kaladin? Which so for Nightblood, the lore behind that, which I don't, it's not dove deep into here. So this is light stuff on Nightblood. If you don't want too much on that, skip like a minute or so. But Nightblood was forged by Vashra and those sorts to try to mimic the shards that they saw on Roshar and other places. They try to create a shard of their own with...
They were trying to make a shard blade.
Shard blade.
A shard meaning a power of God. Like, that's what they're called. I'm not talking about shards. Not the shard blades.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they were trying to make a shard blade with Nightblood. Yeah, because
shard blades are different from the shard of Preservation, the shard of Ruin.
Yes, correct.
Very different.
Yes. So they were trying to make a shard blade from Roshar, which won't go to... Very spoiler light, but then from doing so, they tried to inject the magic system from Warbreaker into it, and then made Nightblood, and that's how that was created. So you have your shard blades, and then your shards are the god like power, and there's 16 of those. There's a ton of shard blades, but 16. What are the 16?
I could never know.
Okay, what are the 16 shards?
Let's see what we got. Preservation. I'm just not gonna be able to listen. We may not even have a full list, do we?
We have known shards.
Yeah, we don't have all of them.
We don't know all the holders, but we have like Odium, Ruin, Preservation. Got it. Okay,
also,
so
now
some of these might be... I don't want to go through
all of them. Two of the shards are now merged in the sense of Honor. So, not Honor, but Preservation and Ruin have now combined to become a new shard of Harmony.
Yes.
So,
Sazed.
Which is, I think, interesting context in comparing that to what they want to do in Stormlight.
Right.
Of what does Odium really want to do? Yes. Probably wants to take cultivation and merge. Like, so there's potential for those three shards to merge together in some aspect, especially since a bunch of the human characters being creatures of honor, but also of passion, and like this showing that there's positive and negatives to all these shards, and that together these ideals can become virtuous.
Yes.
But alone, they're kind of cold and stale. Like honor without emotion, feeling can just be cold, and we see that problem with Nail. Of he's kind of like honor, but it's more just cold rules rather than feelings and some type of deeper emotional connection to things. So
maybe that's part of it, is the ultimate plan here to connect all the shards into one back to Adonalsium.
I think that is kind of Odium's plan. I I think that's ultimately...
But we shouldn't get too much in the story, just in case.
Yeah, fair enough.
But
I'm assuming, but...
Yeah.
I would imagine that a big plan from all this is, like, hey, which group wants to, like, merge the shards? Like, yeah. Why are the shards kind of fighting against each other? Because they don't want to be corrupted and merged.
Right.
But other than that, like, what else we find out about this?
Big thing I got, I guess, overall thoughts of, if you have another reveal to mention, too, that we're forgetting here, mention it, but overall Cosmere stuff, because we even had the thumbnail here of Cosmere greater than MCU, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of looking at that, too. Reading this book, does it make you think differently about the Cosmere or the thought behind it, and what did it do for you?
It definitely makes me like it more than something like the MCU, in the sense of you get that fun multiversal, like, it's, you get different worlds and perspectives and magic systems, but it is all connected, but in a very nice limited fashion. It's not infinite. You still get the kind of godly, like, you know, hey, there are people in the cognitive realm and people can come back to life in some fashion, so you can have fun with, there's a lot of freedom in the Cosmere section of what you can do.
Yeah.
But it's also limited in the sense, it's not MCU where just anything happens and there's no rules, and so it's kind of boundless, which makes not as fun.
This is a, you consider this a multiverse? Or this,
it's
can't
not
be
a multiverse.
Because this is a universe with multiple worlds. It's not necessarily like different lives are happening in, so yeah, you can't really say it feels more limited just for the fact that there's not 1,000 Kelsiers or infinite Kelsiers. There's one Kelsier, and they're connected via these realms. And I guess the realms we have, so it's physical realm, cognitive realm, and spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. And then there's things like the beyond. What beyond is the afterlife of sorts. And the cognitive realm, I just was talking about Stormlight stuff, but we see the cognitive realm, at least here, in each place, in each book and world, represents what the people in the world think about and represents what that world, what the people in the world think about, because it's in our mind. So the cognitive realm of Scadrial, mists. And of that sort. Cognitive realm in other universes are different because it represents the peoples there. So I like how it stays consistent in that way as well. I like the bit of expansion that we get with the shard explanations. And for me, it was cool to talk and have it explained to me a bit, because having read the Cosmere in a weird order, it's always strange, because I love to read things in release order. I think that's the way to do it. I didn't do that for this. It's difficult. But because there's some stuff that will go over your heads, some stuff you should have read beforehand, I'm now thinking in retrospect, the initial recommendation you gave to read this before Rhythm of War, there's a thing in Rhythm of War that shouldn't really say, because it's a major spoiler for something in Rhythm of War, but there's a thing that would have been cool to have read this first, then Rhythm of War. You know the moment I'm talking about?
Especially since it, I don't think, spoils it, but when the surprise happens, it's understandable.
Yes.
And yes, and I do.
There's multiple things like that in the Cosmere. We should do a video on Cosmere reading order once we've read all of it, because there is a, when reading Stormlight, for example, if you read Stormlight and you go from book 2 to book 3, and you don't read Edge Dancer in between, you don't read, which is technically book 2.5, there's a thing that happens between those books that seems like it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you'd go, it's not shocked, you're like, oh, that, okay, that's happening. But then you read Edge Dancer in between and you go, ah, I see why that happens in the next book.
And plenty of stuff of after, well, also reading Warbreaker before Oathbringer. So
that too, yeah.
I think for the, if we're looking at Stormlight focused, like, what should you read while you're reading Stormlight? What are the important, if you have the time? Mm-hmm. Like, because, of course, you can always just read 1 through 4.
Yep.
You could do that. That's perfectly
acceptable. It works. They work on their own perfectly, so.
Perfectly acceptable. But if you have the time, reading book 1, then reading book 2. I don't think there's anything in between those, necessarily. Then reading Edge Dancer, then reading Warbreaker, then reading Oathbringer. Then reading Mistborn 1 through 3, Secret History, then Rhythm of War.
You know what? I'm going to make a bold claim here. So we're going to Dragon's Hill, the panel. I think this will be out after we're already in Dragon's Hill. We've done the whole thing. Mm-hmm. There's so many videos. There's so many theory crafts. There's so many people who talk about Cosmere reading order. There's so many people who talk about what order do you do it in? How do you do it? Should you go here, then here? Just as you're trying to bullshit, okay? I've got it's so simple. They're just stretching content. You know what you do? When did Sanderson release the book? Look at the date and read it in that order. That's all you got to do. Like, when did Sanderson release? Oh, Elantris was first. Read Elantris. Go. When did he read that? It's you go when you watch Star Wars. You don't watch episodes 1, 2, 3 first. You watch it as George Lucas released. You go 4, 5, 6, then 1, 2, 3. Release order as it was presented to the public. This is not difficult, people.
That's very fair.
I'm just saying. I think we're making something out of nothing. Just look up when did Sanderson do the thing. Read the thing in that order. Done and enjoy. Have a great reading experience. We'll see you next episode.
Bye, all. If you're actually wrong about the Star Wars reading order, there's a even better way to read it.
No! Bye, everybody.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.